Jennifer, I still can't help it when I hear him sing that song. I see the family singing it. It's a tremendous thing, and it really is. Yes, ma'am. Not a blessing.
I know nobody will be. I know nobody
out. That's right. Amen. That's something speaking high volumes if she loves Timmy. I believe I caught that. There's a lot of love there then. Lord's been gracious. I love you too, Brenda. Isn't she a blessing? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? That is a blessing. You keep that up. Aren't you thankful for people that pray for you?
Amen.
People that love you.
Amen.
What a great blessing. Thank the Lord for it. Thank you, Miss Brenda, so very much. This morning I mentioned to you that on this day I usually try to run back into the archives a little bit, and I did that this morning all the way back to 2015, I believe it was, and tonight I'm going to do it again. I've gotten to where I really enjoy doing that on this day. We're going to go back to the first Sunday of 2017, and I've modified a few things in this. But in Matthew chapter number 5 and in verse number 41, you read these words, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Now keep your mind on that verse of Scripture. Keep your eyes on it. That's the only place that we're going to be, and it's just a small verse. But I tell you, there is some explosive dynamite truth that is right here in just this one verse. Now throughout the Bible, there are many passages of Scripture that motivate us to do and be greater for the Lord. But in my opinion, Matthew 5:41 has got to be at the top of the list. Now, if anybody remembers, we built this verse and so many of the theme around that year around this matter of excellence for the Lord. And when we talk about excellence, folks, I like excellence. I believe in excellence because we serve an excellent God. And we need to serve Him in an excellent way. And so I want to speak to you this evening on going the extra mile, and we're calling it the mile of excellence tonight. And you're going to find that right here in this verse of Scripture. Excellence, excellence, excellence. That's a word that you hear come out of my mouth all the time. You'll probably hear it come out of my mouth many, many more times, because I want that to begin to be embedded within our hearts and within our minds. Everything that we do for the Lord, it ought to be rooted in excellence, not just in our daily lives, but in our service to God as well. You see, in the life of the child of God, everything ought to be governed and guided entirely by this matter of excellence. Now, before I go any further, let me just say that I don't stand up here and say that I don't struggle with excellence. I fall short of excellence every day of my life. I admit it. I am my worst critic in it. But I tell you, friends, we have a problem in American culture as a whole today with us heading down a path of a lack of excellence. And it doesn't take much. You can look around, be it in our properties, in our homes, in our businesses, in our buildings, and that sort of thing. Be it in just an overall work ethic that we have a problem with. Nobody likes hard work anymore. Matter of fact, many people, they just run done from it. It's been made easy to be able to do that. Just the overall presentation that we have of a society today, it is slipping. Have you noticed that? It is slipping. There is a lack of excellence in all sides. Now, all of these things, they really ought to frustrate us to a degree as members of society. But it really ought to bother and burden you and I as believers, because this lack of excellence, and can I put it this way, just an overall sloppiness of society, I fear that in many ways it has crept into the church as well, and it's gotten in the way of our service to the Lord. Fact of the matter is, this half-hearted, halfway, less than our best type of mentality and type of attitude that we have gotten into, that the world has, that we slipped into the side of the back door of the church, it does affect our godly witness. It does affect our overall productivity for the Lord. So I ask you, when, why, and how have we allowed this lack of excellence to be okay? Why are we settling for a lack of excellence in our daily lives or in our service to the Lord, and certainly in this case, in the church? You know, when you search the Scriptures and you search the Word of God, you find a lot of things. When it comes to this matter of excellence, if you go out of the Scripture and you go out and you look for books that have been written on the topic of excellence, the fact is, you don't find a whole lot that is out there. But when we open the pages of the Word of God, we find a whole lot of things that have been written on this matter of excellence. And that's what we're finding in Matthew chapter 5. Now, if you're familiar at all with your Bible, then you know that Matthew chapter 5 is the Lord Jesus Himself. He is delivering His great Sermon on the Mount. Now, it is in this sermon that He is dealing with many things, but He begins breaking down and dealing with His followers with this matter of excellence. But He does it in such a unique and a frustrating to them way. A matter of fact, it was a pride-crushing way He is dealing with this matter of excellence. For you see, a lack of excellence, it really points to a lack of submission to God's expectations. Can I say that again? And I hope every one of us will get this. A lack of excellence really points to a lack of submission to God's expectations. So this evening, what I would like to do from this verse of Scripture is I would like to take us on a journey through Jewish culture and Bible history from Matthew chapter 5, particularly just this verse on the Sermon on the Mount. And just look at this short verse. What is Jesus saying when He says, "Hey, whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him twain, duo, go with him two." What is Jesus really saying when He speaks of this? There is a profound truth and three things I want to give you with it. First of all, there is the requirement of the first mile. Write that down, the requirement of the first mile. You see, one of the greatest problems, I believe, in the modern church today is this lack of commitment that people, professing believers, have when it comes to the matter of serving God. And do you know what a lack of commitment does? It produces a lack of excellence. It'll do that every time. Now get this, in your heart, in your life, and in the church as well, excellence can only be achieved by a measure of great leadership and honorable service to the Lord. Now without those two things together, those two things combined, we are always going to fall short of the task that God has given to us. I would a whole lot rather do one thing with excellence than try to do three things partially. Now that's when you have faithful servants of God, co-laborers in the ministry, that will come along and they will operate with you with the same visionary standard. You only can really do one or two things with true excellence. That's when God gives you other people to step around and execute the work of the ministry with the same type of burden and passion that God has placed upon your life. Now, this isn't just my opinion, but that is exactly what we are finding on the pages of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 5. For as we break this down, we are seeing right here with this requirement of the first mile, the Lord is telling us that it was a mile of duty. It was a mile of duty. Now look again in verse number 41, "And whosoever shall compel." Now write out in your margin that word compel. It simply can be translated to impress, or really to force is what it is speaking of. Let me give you the background of what really is happening in this passage in Jewish history and the culture that we are looking at. Now all throughout Jewish history, history, they had been in captivity to multiple foreign powers. Why? Because of their sin and their rebellion against God. And so therefore, they were in bondage and they were in captivity as a direct result. Now, back in these days, the Roman Empire, they ruled the entire world, including the land of Israel, which of course the Jewish people fell under. Now, because of this, the Jews, they were placed under the position of service to the Roman government. And so therefore, as the Roman people, as they would travel along and as they would go about, the Romans had the right and were given the authority to compel, or again, to force the Jewish people into forms of different service, and when it was really supposed to be related to the interest of the government. But of course, in many cases, they didn't do it. They took liberties with that for their own personal reasons as well. Now, this allowed the government couriers, maybe the government messengers, or even in many cases, the military man convoys, it allowed them the authority and it gave them the right to get where they were going faster by simply picking out a Jew that was walking along the same path that they were, and they would have to give them their baggage, whatever baggage that they were carrying, and the Roman person could compel or force the Jew to carry that baggage, and it would help them get to where they were going, the Roman, with greater ease and with greater speed as well. And the law by which it was written was the Roman law said that the Roman guard or the Roman government official, they had the right to force or compel that Jew to carry it for 1,000 paces, which measured out came to about 1 mile in space. Now the Jews in this right here, they had absolutely no choice in this. And if a refusal of that was ever given by one of the Jews, it could have been punishable by death. Now we see an example of this in Luke chapter number 23, and you'll recognize this when the Roman soldier, you remember, they compelled Simon to carry the cross of the Lord Jesus. Now, no matter where they were going, this Jew, no matter what they were already carrying or who was actually with them, if a Roman soldier said, "You are forced, you are required, I am compelling you to carry my baggage for 1,000 paces or 1 mile," the Jew had no choice whatsoever but to do it. Now, after they had walked this 1 mile and carried that baggage, what the Jew could do is they could drop that baggage, and that particular Roman soldier was not permitted to compel that particular Jew to carry it any further. Boy, when we think about American culture today and we think about who we are and the pride that we all have, we can't even begin to fathom some foreign government official coming up to us out here on Main Street and compelling us to carry their baggage from right here on the square all the way up to Walmart or so. And if not, it could be punishable by death. In our American culture as it stands right now, we cannot even begin to fathom that. I don't think that there would be too many of us that would just fall in line with that. Matter of fact, I know enough good old country boys that there would probably be some pretty quick pushback on that. I imagine the foreign powers' insurance policies would go off because there would probably be a good bit of bloodshed. I know enough old country boys that would take care of some business if that happened, don't you? But during this time in Jewish history, in the land of Israel, they had no choice whatsoever but to do it. It was a mile that they had to walk, that first mile, and they were compelled to do it 1,000 paces. It was a required mile of duty. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand this, because this reminds us today as the child of God, listen to me, that our first mile that we walk for God, you and I do not have a choice in that. It is a mile of duty. The day you got saved was the day that God said, "I am requiring you to serve me. I am requiring of you to walk the first mile of service. It is your duty to do that." I would to God that it would get in the hearts of every believer today that there is no such thing as 10% of the people carrying 90% of the work in the church. God has ordered every believer that he has given his life, and rightfully so, for he has ordered them and is demanding them to serve him and to walk with Him and to honor Him in every way. It is possible that there could be some, maybe some here, maybe some that are listening today, you have not yet, be it in pure heart and be it intent to serve God, you have not ever really taken your first step on that first mile of duty in your journey for the Lord. You're sitting by and you're watching. You're paying attention to everybody else that are out there. Many love to sit by and watch. And do you know, those that are sitting on the sidelines, they love to criticize all the other people that are really trying to do something for God and serve God in every way. They love to criticize, but they rarely ever fully with pure heart and intentions to serve God ever really get in the game. Perhaps it is time tonight that you and I together, we just fall on our knees and say, "Dear God, I want to walk the first mile. I want to serve You with all of my heart, because I realize tonight that it is a mile of duty and I don't have any choice in it." The first step some of us need to take, for it is a mile of duty. But we need to also understand that when we take that first step, it isn't only going to be a mile of duty, but it is a mile of difficulty as well. The first mile is a mile of duty, but it is also a mile of difficulty. Whenever I think of that, I can't help but remember back to the time, it's been several years ago, that we carried the teenagers to Dollywood. And it was a July day. It was at camp. Some of you guys may have actually been there. Matter of fact, I know, because I can picture you right now. I see Jared in my mind right now, and you'll see why in just a second. But I tell you what, it was a July day. It was hot, and it was crowded. And because of the crowd, if you've been to Dollywood, we had to park all the way back on the other side of that bend in the big old parking lot on the other end over the way out by the road. And we kind of measured it out, Brother Daniel and I did, and we were thinking that it was probably about a mile's walk when you walked around that bend to get all the way up to the gate. Well, on this day, what we did is we decided to take the trolley in. So we went to the trolley gate and we rode the trolley in. We went into Dollywood, and in spite of the crowds and in spite of the heat, we had a great time. Brother Daniel refuses to wear a hat, even out in the middle of the hot sun, the blistering heat coming down on his head. One of the funniest things I've ever seen is he walked into an air-conditioned building in Dollywood and you could see steam coming off the top of his head. We went and we had a good time, but we decided to leave at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon because of the heat and because of the crowds. But apparently everybody else decided to do the same thing, because do you remember? The line was wrapped around the trolley building to be able to get back. So Brother Daniel, in his infinite wisdom, he decided that we would be quicker if we just went ahead and walked back to the bus. And so here we go, taken out towards the bus. And let me tell you, it was hot. With every step of the way, teenagers were fussing. Teenagers were complaining. They were dragging their feet. At one point, I saw one of them carrying one of the others. They looked over. They were seeing mirages of water in the parking lot. And by the time they got that van within sight, I see Jared right now, barely able to move. And when they saw the van, they could barely move. And they got there. Brother Daniel and I had done pulled the cooler out, and they were going straight for that cold water as if they had been in the Sahara Desert for days and weeks among time. Any of y'all teenagers remember that when we had to walk? You remember that? We had to walk that. Let me tell you something. I share that because 1 mile is not really that far. But I tell you, it is further at 3 o'clock in the afternoon than it is at 10 o'clock in the morning. You see, 1 mile not being that far, it's true. But sometimes the circumstances of that mile makes the journey that much more difficult. The circumstances of that mile physically and mentally affects your ability to really function the way that you should. Now, you've got to remember that the first mile, it was a required mile of duty. And because that the hated Romans ruled, then the Jews had no choice. They hated being ruled by the Romans. They wanted to rule over the Romans themselves. But they had no choice. And because of the mile, mile that they were having to walk, it was not only difficult on their bodies because of the baggage that they were having to carry, but it was difficult as well on their egos because they did not want to be ruled by these Jews. So we can see these Romans in this setting right here. The cruelty of these Romans, do you know what they would do? They would look for the Roman that was walking, or the Jew that was walking along that road that had the most baggage upon them, and they would seek that one Jew out that was struggling the most as it was and compel them to carry their baggage as well. Or they would look for the Jew that was the most physically feeble and say, I'm going to make this one carry all of the baggage. And so that Jew that had so much of his own bags that he had to carry, and then on top of that, the baggage of the Roman government or the Roman official or that one that was feeble and could hardly walk already was now under the weight of another bag that had to be carried across the Israel and the land there and through the road that he was having to do for 1,000 paces. And all the time they would in many cases fall down to their knees and they would get kicked by the Roman soldier and they would say, get up. They would be spat upon. They would be poked fun of. They would be ridiculed all the way, every step of the way, but they had no choice. They had to walk that first mile. It was a required mile of duty, and it was a required mile of difficulty as well. The Bible principle that is given to us, now listen to me, church, is simply this, that when you start taking your first step on your first required mile of duty, listen, it's wonderful for all the roses. It's wonderful for all the blessings. It's wonderful for all the things that God gives you along the way, but you need to know that it's going to be a mile of difficulty. That Roman soldier is going to do everything he can to wear you out and to beat you up. He is going to make the journey as hard as he possibly can. That being our enemy, the devil. When we see people get saved, and you've all seen this, but when we see people get saved, you can see the glow of God on their face. You can see that they're on fire for the Lord. They're doing something great for God. They're going to go and win the whole world for Jesus. And you can see during that time, just by the countenance on their face, that they're in a good stretch of their mile of duty for the Lord. But you can see the same thing when their mile of duty begins to get difficult on them as well. That glow will fade a little bit, and they'll begin to realize there is a very real supernatural battle that is waging in the mind and in the life of people who are trying to serve God. And so they are going about it, and they are really trying, and they are really fighting it. And the bottom line is the cruelty of the enemy, the devil that is. He will look for the one believer that's on fire for God and doing something for the Lord. He'll look for the one on their road of duty, their mile of duty, who has got the most baggage to carry. Maybe the one that is the most spiritual feeble and they're having a hard time. They're already weighed down under the weight of all of the baggage and all the stuff that they've got in their life, and it will be that one that the devil will get up to and say, hey, I'm going to compel you to carry a little bit more baggage. He'll bring some things up from your past that you weren't anticipating that weighs you down a little bit more. Maybe a bad decision financially or some other way that you'd made in your past, and it just puts your budget in a greater restraint. Or whatever it might be, your car may tear up. You got to put an engine in it. Whatever it might be, the devil will see that you're struggling. He will see you're having a hard time, and what he will do is he'll come relentlessly, and here you are now having more and more baggage piled upon you and your mile of duty and your mile of difficulty to the point that you're falling down, and there's the devil looking at you. He's poking fun of you, and he's saying, you didn't make it. He's demeaning you. He is spitting on you. I see this happening in the lives of believers, and it truly scares me to death because I fear that the difficulty of their mile of duty is going to cause them to just quit altogether and go the other direction and say it's just not worth it to serve God. Let me tell you, you got to press on. The Lord sent me to Lafayette, Georgia tonight just to let you know that you may be in your mile of duty, and it may be overwhelming and difficult to you right now, but you've got to press on. You've got to keep on walking those miles. You've got to keep on going for God. It may be difficult. You may be dragging your feet. You may be falling down on the journey, but you got to press on. Let me tell you why. Because the devil knows that if he can get you on the first mile, he's never going to have to worry about you on the next mile, the extra mile, the mile of excellence. God wants you on the next mile, not just on the first mile. Sometimes, though the journey, it may be a journey of duty, though that mile may be difficult, I'm telling you, it
it is difficult sometimes. You just got to press on. You got to walk on through, because though it be a mile of duty, it is a mile of difficulty. He knows if he can get you on the first mile, he'll never have to worry about you doing anything greater for God. There is the required mile that we are seeing right here, the requirement of the first mile. But notice, secondly, there is also, that we're seeing in this verse of Scripture, there is the resolve of the further mile. The resolve of the further mile. Not only is there the requirement of the first mile, that's what we're seeing in the first part of the verse, but then he takes the step further. I love the Bible. It teaches us so much, doesn't it? It takes us the next step, and he's saying, you got to have some resolve. The first mile's not good enough. I got something else that I want you to do. Now, you've got to remember that that first mile, it was a required mile of duty. And the government officials, they could force the Jews to be able to take it, and they had no choice whatsoever. At the completion of that 1,000 paces or that first mile, the Jew could drop their baggage and they could leave that Roman. And in many cases, as soon as they hit that 1,000th pace, as soon as they did it, they were looking, they knew how far it was. They could tell it's going to be another 8 or 10 paces. They could tell where it was going to be. They had their eyes locked on that very space. It had been a struggle for them. And as soon as they hit that spot, you know what they do? They drop that baggage. They turn and have some choice words for that Roman, some stiff language that they would have. They would respond to him because they knew that Roman could not do anything more about it at that point. They had done everything they had to do on their first required mile. And then they would stomp off in frustration with the Jew and go there. Their own way. That's what makes Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 41 such a significant statement that our Lord makes. Is it coming to life now to you? Are you seeing what the Lord is saying? Look in your Bible again, verse number 41. And whosoever shall compel, force thee to go a mile, it's a mile of duty, a mile of difficulty, no choice. Be one thing if there was a period there. But Jesus goes on to say, go with him twain. Duo is what it translates. Go with him 2 miles. You know what Jesus is saying right here? He is saying, when you finish with that first mile of difficulty and that first mile of duty and first mile of difficulty, don't even drop the baggage. But if you do, you pick that baggage right on up and you carry that baggage for another mile instead of 1,000 paces. You are to carry it for 2,000 paces. Can you imagine how Jesus' Jewish audience on the Mount, as he was preaching his sermon there, would have responded to his words? They knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. They knew what the Roman requirements were. They knew what he was saying when he spoke of 1 mile. I can picture it right now. You can just about hear it, can't you? There on the Mount, I stood in the place where the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Jesus, and you can see it. It's overlooking the Sea of Galilee. But you can see it because you could hear it bouncing off of the mountains, echoing off of the mountains. That's how he was able to preach to such large crowds. And you can, as he says, hey, when you go that 1 mile, pick up the baggage and go a second mile. Don't you know there would have been a collective sigh of disbelief, of discouragement, and even disgust that they were having? And can't you see Jesus on the mountain right now as he lifts his hands to his followers? And he's saying, calm down. Calm down. You may think that you know what you need, but you really don't know what you need. You may think this is cruel. You may think this is unnecessary. You may think this is too much. But let me tell you, friends, you don't know what you need, he says to them, but I do. The first mile that was required of you, it wasn't working. And so therefore, I had to establish and allow an establishment for them to require a second mile. And this is the mile of excellence. I know what I'm doing because this is going to be a mile of brokenness for you. A mile of brokenness. Now you've got to remember that the Jews, they spent their existence under the rule of a foreign government. Why? Because of their sin and rebellion against God. You see, God permitted them to be under the rule of a foreign government because they would not get right with God, because they continued to rebel against God. So he was saying, I'm going to have to make you live under a law of carrying your hated enemy's baggage for 1,000 paces or 1 mile. I'm going to have to make you do that because you're not learning, but now I'm going to have to extend it a little bit more, and you're going to have your spirit broken before me. Mile number one wasn't getting it done. You weren't honoring me the way that you should. Let me tell you something. You better not play around with not serving God on your mile of duty and difficulty. You better not quit on it, because you ain't careful. You're going to find yourself having to stay on that mile of difficulty longer than you really had to in the very beginning. He says you weren't getting the picture. You weren't getting the message. So I've got to take this a step further. I've got to tell you that if you're going to be right with God, I've got to break you, and you're going to have to walk another mile, the mile of excellence. The Jews were infuriated by this without any doubt. And they had come to the place, listen to me, they had come to the place where they had no respect for the authoritative things of God in general. And as a result of that, because they had rebelled so much, having to be under the control of a foreign power that was so brutal to them, as a result of that, God said, I've got to break you. If you've got your Bible open, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. I want you to see something. We have a problem with authority in our day today. Authority in the home. Authority in the government. Authority in the workplace. We've got a problem with spiritual authority today because of all of these things combined. Romans chapter 13. I want you to read verse number 1 and 2 with me and listen closely. Let every soul be subject, listen, to the higher power. For there is no power but God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, God is allowing Some other places, some other things to have some authority and some power in our lives. Look at verse number 2. Whosoever therefore resists the powers, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves, somebody tell me, damnation. Go back to Matthew chapter 5 now. Can you understand what God really says and what God really thinks about this? No matter who it is that's in charge of us, that holds a position of authority. Listen, this is important for us right now to really get in our minds because of what we're facing in our nation just in the next couple of months. No matter who it is that has authority and power over us, unless they are saying, violate the word of God, there is some obligation that we have got to submit to that authority. God was saying, when you resist against Rome in this first mile, he's telling his people, ultimately what you are doing is you are resisting the very authority of Almighty God, because I am the one who have allowed them to be in charge of you for this season of the nation. You know what God is doing? God right here is contrasting their spirit of rebellion with a spirit of submission. A spirit of brokenness, not only to the Roman government, but to God himself. In other words, the reason that the Roman government was in charge is because God was trying to break them, trying to let them know your pride is destroying you. God knew that he had to break his people because the first mile, it was not getting them to do it. So what he had to do is he had to send them, he had to tell them, he had to force them, he had to compel them that if they wanted to prove that they were broken before God, they were going to have to pick that baggage up after 1 mile. If they wanted to prove that they're really sold out to God, they're going to serve God, their spirit is broken, and they're going to have have to carry it for another mile if they really wanted to be right with God. This was not a mile of duty. This was a voluntary mile. And it was designed to break them entirely of their pride. The requirement of the first mile was a mile of duty. It was a mile of difficulty. Then the resolve of the further mile, it was simply a mile of brokenness. It is to break us. And many of us today, we are not willing to pick up the baggage. We are not willing to go on any further because we have not been broken in our spirit of our pride. We have not been broken of all of our haughtiness, all of our arrogance that we have. And God says, until you are broken entirely, I'm going to make you keep on carrying the baggage of your past, the demons, if you want to call it that, of your past, all of the struggles of your life. I'm going to make you keep on carrying it until you are totally broken before me. It isn't only a mile of brokenness was this further mile, but it was a mile of burden. A mile of burden. The reason these Jews, you see, they would pick that baggage up and they would carry it that further mile, that second mile, that mile of excellence. The reason they would do it is because they had a burden that they wanted to be right with God. There's so many of us today, we don't have a burden for anything. But we sure don't have a burden to be right with God. That is reflected in the way that we live. And if you want to be right with God, you've got to have a burden for that. And it is that burden that will compel you to go on for the Lord. And so therefore, with every step of this required first mile and that resolve of the following or the further mile that was given, you can see these Jews, they were struggling all the way and they came to the end of that first mile and they said, my goodness, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I'm done. I want to drop the baggage right now. And so when they came to the end of that first mile, that first 1,000 paces, they could see the finish line right up there in the distance. And they were so thrilled and excited because they were going to drop it. But don't you know, Randy, just as soon as they came to the end of that first mile, all of the sudden the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, just as they were about to let go of the baggage and drop that burden down, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount reflected back flashbacks in their mind and they remembered what he said, hey, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And therefore, with a burden to be broken before God, what they would do was they would say, dear God, I don't want to do this. Dear God, I've got other places I need to be, other people that I need to see. I've got other things that I need to do. Dear God, I do not want to do this, but I desperately, with all of my heart, I want to be right with you. So therefore, with a burden to be broken before God, he picks up the baggage and he begins to carry it for that further mile, the mile of excellence, the mile that you want to be on for God, the mile that's going to take you to the next level for him. And you pick it up and you begin to carry it with a broken heart and a burden to right your wrongs against God of your past. I cannot help but believe that many of those old pagan, wicked, godless Romans, they were reached. They were broken because of this gesture that they saw. Just as soon as the bags were dropped, they could have said their choice words and run off. But no, in many cases, they would reach down. They would pick that baggage up and that Roman would say, what is this? And that Jew would look at him and say, my Savior told me that if I want to be right with him, I've got to have a burden. I've got to be broken to pick it up and carry the baggage a little bit further. And Mr. Roman, I don't want to, but I want you to know there's a God that loves you. And if this is the only way that I can show you, I'm willing to carry this baggage. I'm willing to carry this mile of duty and difficulty with a burden and a brokenness a little bit further if you will just see God in my life. That's the picture that is given to us right here. I want to remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that so many of the broken hearts that we feel, so many of the heavy burdens that we carry, and there's so many represented here tonight, no doubt, are the result
of our sin and our rebellion and our pride against Almighty God. And though we are required by God to take that first mile, it's our duty, it's so difficult. Our pride, sometimes when we hit that 1 mile mark, that 1,000 paces, we refuse to go the extra mile for God. We drop it. We have our choice words. Dear God, life just isn't fair. I'm not going to be faithful to you because you've not been fair to me. Who says life is fair? There is nothing about life that is fair. We need to just suck it up and realize this is a battlefield, friend. It's not a recreation room, and we need to press on. Life is not fair. We need to pick it up and say, dear God, you've been too good to me. You allowed me to be born in this nation. You allowed me to hear the gospel. You gave me a family. You gave me a health for a few years. You gave me a roof over my head. You gave me a meal to eat that was good and sustainable for my life. Dear God, I may not want to pick up this baggage and carry it for another mile, but I desperately want to right my wrongs against you. And so out of a burden for brokenness, I'm going to pick it up and carry it for the next mile on my journey. What does it look like to go the extra mile for God? Your mile of duty is giving 10%. If you want to get on the mile of excellence, you give more. You'll give a faith promise. Your mile of duty is to come to church. God requires that every service. I hope everyone's listening. God requires that every service. But if you want to get on the mile of excellence, then you come to Great Commission Day. Then you come to Sunday school. Then you come to work day. Then you come to everything that you can to be right with God. Serve God. The mile of duty that's difficult, sometimes it's just getting here. But if you want to be on the mile of excellence, you get in on it. You go to worshiping the Lord. You go to serving God because you are not satisfied with just the mile of duty and difficulty. The mile of excellence, it is one that we take because we have a burden to be right with God. This lack of faithfulness that we have in the Christian culture today is proof that people are just barely on the first mile. They're not even on the mile of excellence, the extra mile. It's a glorious truth, is it not? It's one that I could stop right there because that's where the scripture in this verse ends, isn't it? It's just mile one and it's just mile two. But we can't do that because we not only see the requirement of the first mile and the resolve of the further mile, but we've got to talk for just a minute about the reward of the final mile. There's the reward of the final mile. Now listen to me, church. Every step of the first mile and the further mile, it should be taken with the final mile in mind. And don't live so much in all the sorrow of the first mile and the further mile without thinking about the satisfaction of the final mile. One day this thing is going to all be over. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, there's duty involved. Yes, there's burden. And yes, there's brokenness, but I can emphatically, without apology and without reservation, tell you today that if you'll just do your mile of duty, though it be difficult, and if you'll get on the extra mile with burden and brokenness, there's going to come a day when there's going to be another mile you're going to be on. It's going to be the final mile, and there's going to be some rewards that are going to come with that, and we're going to learn that that's going to be a mile of blessings, even in this life right here. There will be a mile of blessings that we have. You see, when we get on this journey and when we do be faithful to the Lord on the first and the further mile of this time, this required first mile and that resolve of the further mile, every once in a while we're going to get battered on that journey. We're going to get frustrated on that journey. There's going to be humiliation. There's going to be heartbreak on it. There's going to be discouragement on it. We're going to get worn out on it. And in many cases in these Jews, since they were often beat up physically as a result
result of that. But every time you feel like I'm going to drop the baggage and I'm not going to go on for God, you need to remember there's a final mile that we've got to keep our eyes on. And as these Jews would come to the end of not the first mile, but the second mile, the mile of excellence that they were faithful in, they could drop their baggage and hold their heads high at that point and say, I with satisfaction have completed my mission, not only in the first mile, but in the further mile for the Lord as well. You know, Melissa and I are no different from any of you. There's those of you that are in here tonight and you're struggling on your first mile. You're struggling even on your first mile. You're trying, but you're struggling on it. The fact of the matter is, when you look back at your life, as we can look back on our lives as well, many times the heavy burdens and the high prices have been that comes with family, it comes with friends, it comes with finances, it comes with all other types of things. But I tell you, I can stand before you right now, can't you, with no regrets, saying it's been worth every step of the first mile and the further mile that we have been on. No regrets whatsoever. Though there's been duty, though there's been difficulty, brokenness and burden, I would not take anything for the blessings that God has given me on these final miles of the journey as well. The blessing of experiencing God. I mean, literally changed my life in so many various ways, and continuing to change my life has been worth every bit of the burden, every bit of the difficulty, every bit of the duty of the first mile and the following mile. The blessings for my wife and my babies to be able to serve God with a bunch of people that seem like they love them, that seem like they're on the same page, that seem like they're not hung up in a whole bunch of political drama in the church and all that kind of stuff. It's worth every bit of the first mile and the second mile to experience those blessings. The blessings of seeing hundreds of people come to know Jesus Christ over these past years. It has been worth every bit of the difficulty and the burden and the brokenness of the first mile and the final mile. The blessings of seeing people's faces light up, and maybe sometimes you can't see it, when they really begin to get what this journey of serving God is all about. It's been worth every bit of the duty and the difficulty and the brokenness of the burden of the first mile and the further mile. You see, when you get on this journey with the Lord, there'll be a satisfaction that God will give you. It'll carry you through the first mile. It'll carry you through the second mile. Though you're going to have struggles and sorrows, and you're going to have a lot of scars from it, the mile of blessing will make it all worth it. And that's going to take us straight into a mile of bliss, is it not? It's going to be a mile of bliss. The blessings that we get from getting on the extra mile, that mile of excellence, Brother Daniel, one day is going to take us into the very throne room of God, where we are going to have eternal bliss forever and ever and ever. And we ain't going to think about any of the burdens and the duties and the brokenness and the difficulty of mile one and mile two. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Nothing else is going to matter. It's going to be on that day. Amen. When the anthem of our eternal ages is going to be, as the songwriter said, he said, I've dreamed many a dreams that have not come true. I've seen them vanish at the dawn, but enough of my dreams have come true to make me keep on dreaming on. I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret the times that I've trusted in His Word. I've seen the years go by, many a days without a song, but I don't regret a mile that I've traveled with the Lord. And you imagine what it's going to be like one day when we are making our approach to the other side. Those of us right now that may be having a hard time on this mile of duty and difficulty, we're burdened, we're not broken yet in our spirit and our pride. You just keep your mind on what it's going to be like when you start closing in on the gates and all of a sudden you see the lights of glory, everything you've read about in the Bible, everything you've heard sung about, everything you've heard preached about, you're seeing it. It is your faith becoming sight. And as you get a little bit closer to see those gates swing open wide, all of the duty, the difficulty, the brokenness, and the burden, it's going to go straight out, because you're going to take your final step on the first and the further mile onto the very street of glory itself.
I'm telling you that when I walk in, I don't want to walk into glory on the first mile. I want to walk in on the further mile. The mile of excellence. The extra mile. Beyond what God demands, the duty and the difficulty. I want to fight through the difficulty. I want to get broken with a burden before God. I want to go the second mile. So when I step on the other side, He'll say, "You finished the race. You did good." Mickey, you can come to the piano right now. The only thing I know to tell you that is until that day comes, preachers, listen to me. Just keep on preaching. Singers, keep on singing the old, old stories. You mission givers, you mission goers, keep on being faithful in it. Prayer warriors, keep praying. Sunday school teachers, keep on teaching the Word of God. Children's church workers, you keep on being what you need to be. Children's leaders, keep on pointing them to Jesus. Youth leaders, keep investing in this dark generation. Lay people, I know you're having a hard time right now. It's a mile of duty. It's a mile of difficulty. But some of us tonight that have just made the decision that we're going to drop the baggage right there. And some of us may be there. We're just to the point where I'm just done. It ain't worth it to serve God. It's not worth it to come back to church on Wednesday night. I'm too tired. I'm too stressed out. There is nobody that's ever been more fatigued and stressed out than the Son of God walking up Calvary's cross. You be faithful. Many of us are just dropping the baggage right here on the first mile. We're satisfied with the bare minimum. We've invested our time. We're old now. Let everybody else do it. That attitude is why this generation is going to hell right now. Because the ball has been dropped. Some of us today need to say, "I'm going to finish my race on the final mile, the mile of excellence for God." And we may need to pick it back up and say, "Dear God, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to stay on the final mile. I have begged God to help me to finish strong. By God's grace, I'm going to get on the mile of excellence and I'm going to finish my course there." How many of you will join me? Stand to your feet, your heads are bowed.